greet you in that name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He indeed is Lord. He's over it all, and yes, reporting for duty, sir. We respond when God says, all right, sometimes there's windows where there's nothing for weeks, and then sometimes boom, 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 just like that. So here we go, showing up. And yes, Lord, what is it that you would do? What is it that you would have for us to say? How is it that you would encourage each and every one of our hearts, Lord God, as we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, as we walk with you, Lord God, through this earth, as we travel, Lord God, in this journey of life. And we trust you, Lord, knowing that you that began a good work in us is going to carry it on to completion. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you that my brothers and my sisters in Christ are out there, and that they look to you, Father, and that they are less and less trusting in the things of man and the deceptions of man and the traps and the tricks of the enemy, because they're being exposed. And they are truly seeking first your kingdom. They're seeking first your righteousness. They're seeking first your will, Lord God, and it is being done in their lives. So right now, Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you that you are in control. We thank you, Lord God, that you are working inside of us, and Lord, you are working through us as we are giving ourselves up to you, Lord God, for your purposes in this time. And Lord, we know, Lord, that we don't need to worry about anything, because as we seek you first, Lord, you will take care of the natural things that are going on around us, and you will take care of our natural circumstances and situations. You will take care of the desires of our hearts. You will take care of, because we put those at your feet and we surrender those unto you as well. And Lord, you will direct our time, our window in the earth. So thank you for that, Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, how you doing out there? How are you? How are you in the midst of all that goes on in the world right now? And yeah, things continue to come on the horizon, natural events. Remember the stuff that we've talked about here over the years and over the months. You know, remember the things, you know, lessons, key lessons that are there, that if you've been tracking with us for some time, you've already gotten these. And they're there, and they've been growing in your spirit. And if you are a little bit late to the site, or if you are, I shouldn't say late, because everybody gets to where they need to be in God's timing, I believe, as well. And so I believe that this reaches you at the time that it's supposed to. But stuff has been published here in time past, and we believe that people use it as an archive for things that they need, and that'll help you in your journey. One piece that's been up that we've talked about before was in the midst of Jesus walking on the water and Peter there with the storm raging around him, said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. And as Peter stepped out of the boat, because Jesus said, come, it's me, come on. And as he stepped out of that boat, as long as he kept his eyes on Christ, he was able to do the miraculous, walk on the water, and move forward in that, in the middle of a huge raging storm around him. But when he took his eyes off of Christ and started looking at all these other things and let those things start to seep into his heart, and he started looking at his natural circumstances rather than keeping his focus on Christ, and that was when he started to sink. That was when he started to go down. And you need to, there's an important spiritual principle in this, is that if you will let your focus go to all of these things that are going on around you, scriptures have talked about, already told us, that men's hearts will fail them when they see the things that are coming upon the earth. And, you know, we are moving into that time. So I'm giving you this, we're giving you this early. You know, men's hearts will fail them when they look at the waves coming around them and the things crashing around them and all of the other things that are happening around them. So how do you live? How do you go through? Well, you need to keep your eyes on Christ. You need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God will take care of the things that you need, and He's going to watch over you. He's going to protect you. He's going to lead and guide you through. And for you to check out, for me to check out, it's not a big deal. It isn't. Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. So we've already, when you were activated by the Spirit of the living God, when you started moving into who God had for you to be, and the revelation of who Christ Jesus is was made true and real in your heart, when that took place, from that point forward, it was all about Christ Jesus from then anyways. You know, the old you is dead in the cross anyways. The old you died with Christ Jesus on that cross anyways. And the new life that you now live is the resurrection life in Christ now. So that's who you are for this window and the remainder of your time in the earth. So it's not a big deal. So the things that are going on around us, yes, we do have a role to play. Yes, we do have something that we need to do. Yes, we do need to engage in the things of God in such a time as this. We do need to pray, because a lot of times our prayers are the things that are making the difference and making the change. And it is not, you know, the machinations of human beings and all of their ideas and their programs and their policies. Those things aren't even working. People that used to make 3-year strategic plans, they're outdated in 6 months. I mean, things are moving so quickly, so fast, that people cannot project very far ahead. I was talking to a friend just yesterday about this, about even people that used to do strategic planning. And it's going, the cycles are moving so quick that, you know, 18 months, things, you can't even hardly project 18 months into the future, let alone 3 years, let alone, I mean, people would laugh you out the door if you had a 10-year strategic plan. It's, you know, things are moving so quick and the directions are changing so fast. Now, the children of God, you've already been given a head start. Jesus said what we're like in John chapter 3. We're like the wind. We flow with the Spirit of the living God. So we move where God has for us to move. We go where God has for us to go. We do what the Father has for us to do. That's how we live. That's how we live in our time of the earth. That's how we live in the way that we conduct ourselves. That's how we take part in all the things that are going on around us. Now, in that too, you know, something that we said recently, everything before this moment doesn't exist. I want you to keep that with you. I want you to remember that, because there's a lot of things, you know, that are from before, that whatever they may be, good, bad, indifferent, you got to let it go. You right now, this is the moment that you have with Christ. And either your face is directed towards the Father and you're seeking Him first and you're looking for Him to lead and guide you into all truth and for Him to lead you through this maze and this minefield of this world, or you're looking to something else. You're looking to man, or you're looking to a political leader to try to solve your problems, or you're looking to finding that perfect man or woman or husband or wife or whatever it may be. You're looking for something else, but those are all part of the waves around you. You will only find your peace in Christ. You will only find your direction in Him. You will only find that which is the way that you need to live with Him. And if you're on that track, you will be like the wind. So, you know, Jesus, you know, Nicodemus had some questions about that. And interestingly, the religious leaders that don't know, they'll usually come to you at night or in the back channels, whatever it's necessary, but they don't want to be seen openly, because openly they're supposed to have all the answers. And they can't ever be seen, because they got too much invested in the corporate system. They can't ever be seen to not know. They don't want, you know, even when they play like they don't know, it's kind of like, oh, well, I don't know, but I really do know. No, they can't play that game, because they need to be the expert. But, you know, that's always been the way, whereas the child of God, we just flow with Him. We flow with God, and if we're off, then God corrects us and He shows us. But we're okay with that. All right. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except the Lord, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Thou art a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen and have received, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Ah, wow, I love this stuff. Oh, all right, so much in there. So much in there. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Verse 8, And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So you are born of the Spirit. And as one born of the Spirit, you go, even though people might see some of the manifestations, but you go where the Spirit leads you. You go where the Spirit guides you. And to other people, you'll look and appear like the wind. But as you look and appear like the wind, you know, they can't get a handle on you. Now, in that process of you going to and fro as the Spirit of God leads and guides you, you will slide through where others will be destroyed and fall and be perplexed. And because they're stuck in fixed positions. See, the world as a prison system works very hard to try to get you stuck. It works very hard to try to get you in bondage, whatever bondages are necessary. It tries to give you the natural manifestations of the spiritual reality of the world system. So what it does is it wants to bind you up into all forms of different types of slavery, whatever it can do. And the process is, you know, is also seeking to get your free will engaged in that. Now, how now can you live? Well, part of it is you got to be aware that this is part of the game. And also, you know, a lot of times, how is somebody going to talk to you about freedom if they're not free themselves? How is somebody going to, there's a lot of people out there that are quote unquote experts in all kinds of things, and yet they wouldn't know the first thing about, like, here's Nicodemus coming to Jesus and asking him, and he's like, how can these things be? And Jesus said unto him, art thou master of Israel and knowest not these things? You know, you're supposed to be the expert, Nicodemus, right? That's the reason that you're coming to me in the middle of the night. There's so many people out there that feign to be an expert, and yet they don't understand the simplest principles of the realm of the Spirit. They don't understand the voice of the Spirit of God. They've gone so far into a corporate religious system that the truth has been hidden from them. They can't see it. They can't hear it. Just like John chapter 5 says, where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he said, look, you diligently study the scriptures, but because you think that by them you're going to inherit eternal life, but they're the ones that testify of me, and you've never once heard the voice of God. You haven't heard his voice once. I mean, that's incredible to me that there's people that are out there that they study the scriptures and they look into these things and they seek the mysteries and they do all of that, and they've not even heard a whisper from God once in their entire existence in all of those pursuits. And for the child of God, we live in that voice and in that presence. We know his voice. We know the sweetness of his Spirit. And that's why we won't follow another, because we are in love with him. We are in love with the voice of God. We are in love with the our Creator. And we follow him wherever he goes. There's nowhere else that we would rather be. Now, here's part of the interesting dynamic in this one too. In verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. All right, so they loved the darkness rather than the light, right? Now, keep this in mind, because you got to remember also that, overlay this with some other things like what the vision of Daniel was, which was there's that rock that was cut out, you know, without human hands and came down, smashed the idol, all the representation of the entire world systems, and grew and filled the whole earth, right? All right. And he is the this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now, what are you going to do when there's no darkness to hide in? Oh, verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Here's something to think about. What if part of what we're also coming into in this wave of light is that there is no place of darkness to hide in anymore? See, one of the reasons that people don't want the truth and don't want the light and don't want Christ is that, in coming into that, they don't want that because their deeds were evil, and they don't want that because, verse 19, and this is the condemnation of the world, that light is coming to the world, the men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. So they want to stay in the darkness. They want to stay in that place that's anti-Christ, that's anti-Him. But what happens when that darkness no longer has a place? What happens when that light continues to grow and fill the whole earth? What happens when it shines bright as the noonday sun and there is not a piece of shade anywhere and you can't hide? What happens when everything that has been done in the quiet, dark corners is now blasted from the rooftops for everybody to know and everybody to see? What happens when the things that you do stick with you? What happens when you are now accountable and you can't spin it another way? What happens when there is no hiding place? And what happens when that becomes the reality of this paradigm? Aha! What happens when that becomes the reality of this paradigm? When things shift and things change to the point that there is no hiding place. You know, I was doing some reading some years back about just some of the reasons what causes people to behave themselves, if you would, in civil society. And a couple of the things that were there, that were listed, was the fear of consequence. You know, that it's like, so if they did something wrong, that there would be, you know, there would be a punishment for the wrong that they would do, and that becomes a bit of a deterrent. And another one that they said was, you know, for the loss of social position or social standing because of what they might do. So somebody that's seen to be a pillar of society, but then if they're seen to be something else, they wouldn't want that. So those are the kind of things that sort of restrain people's actions. But the way that we have been in the age of the lower merchant, you know, because in Revelation it talks about that the merchants were the world's great men, and you'll see an overlay of that in so many of the other spiritual texts that are out there as well. So there's been a universal agreement that we've been in the age of the merchant, which has also been a very dark and nefarious age, because a merchant is not a good spiritual leader. A merchant is not a good teacher. A merchant's a good trader. A merchant is a good trader, but they are not a good spiritual authority. I'll say that again. A merchant is a good trader. They're not a good spiritual authority. When they're merchandising and buying and selling and trying to sell that truth, that is not the place where you find truth. A merchant is not a good teacher. You know, the irony of the age that we've been in is that some of the best artistic talents that I know, because they don't have that merchant inclination, their talents have, for the most part, been ignored, been neglected. You know, musical talents, artistic talents, photographic talents, just all types of different ways that people create. But the backdrop, the canvas of the age that we've been in, has been the age of the merchant, the lower merchant. So, and the lower merchant, the upper merchant, is the merchant that has, you know, there's still some integrity, there's still some principles. The lower merchant is just, hey, bottom of the barrel, whatever it takes to make a deal. That's what we've been in the middle of. That's the type of leaders that we've had. That's the type of people that have risen to the top in the backdrop of that system, because that's been the spiritual paradigm that supported it up until now, which is the time of transition. Now, anytime there's a transition, there's always an upheaval of what was in what is and then what is to come. So now, when you have been in a particular system and you've been in a particular way of how things are working, just understand that that's been part of the dynamic. So the true teacher would struggle in the age of the merchant, because their goal and their quest is to share knowledge, is for that purpose. But the merchant teacher, the one that knows how to sell that book, the one that knows how to push the class to buy their fifth edition, you know, where they just changed a couple paragraphs and they make them, that's the guy that will move forward in the age of the merchant. The guy that knows how to schmooze. Not the best artist, no. Not the best artist, but the one that knows how to wine and dine and wheel and deal and play to those structures that are there and in place. That's the merchant. So the mixed merchants have been the ones that have succeeded in the age that we are coming out of. As far as, you know, as far as overt fruition of their efforts, where the true artist, the true seeker, the true gifts that have been there, have many of them have never been materialized because they have struggled in that age. They've struggled to try to bring it forward, unless they sometimes have had some support. You know, maybe if somebody else has had a complementary gift set and been there, they've been able to help take something forward. But for the most part, most people have struggled in that age, outside of the ones that have basically been part of that base system. Now, here's the thing. A merchant is not a bad person. You got to understand that too. A merchant is not a bad person. A merchant is somebody that you know, there is definitely a role in society. But a merchant is not a spiritual leader. A merchant is not a good teacher. A merchant is not a true artist. A merchant is not a lot of things that people push and persist to want to be. So, understanding the difference, understanding what is what, and then from that place, continuing to move forward. So, yes, it's been frustrating, my brothers and sisters, absolutely. Because God has put certain gifts in you, and you've struggled to bring them out to manifestation, but part of it has been because the age that we've lived in. Part of it is also because of what God has put in you. The fact that His Spirit is living and flowing through you, your very existence destroys the world. Your very existence just puts a huge hole in their system. So they don't want that. So they can't have you out there like a loose cannon just rolling around in the deck, smashing into everything. No, they want to... What do you want to do with a loose cannon on the deck of a ship? You want to tie it down. Okay? So, in comes the slavery. In comes the attempted things to try to thwart you. So now we got to saddle you with debt. Now we've got to, you know, give you the assigned friends and give you the assigned wife or assigned husband. We've got to give you the job to keep you just on lockdown. Whatever it is, but we've got to keep you from moving forward and flowing with what God has for you to do. But here's the thing: we're also shifting ages. And as we're shifting, as we're moving out of what we've been in, and you know, the vision that we've talked about before, and golly, it would have been, I just have to think now, it might have been 18 years ago that God gave me that dream. And I wrote it down, you know, and just, there's a few things that God has got. Listen, I'm not one of these people that have tons of visions and tons of dreams and tons. Now, I get a little thing here, a little thing there. You know, sometimes something will really stick and resonate. This is one of those things where it's just like, okay, I got it. And just held on to it, pondered it, shared it where God would allow me to. You know, several years back, we went public with certain things because it was the timing. The timing was right for that. But now... Okay, for how you live now in the middle of this. Well, one is realizing that things are shifting, things are changing. So as things are shifting and changing in the midst of the storm, what do? Like Peter on the water, keep your eyes on Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You got to look to Him. That needs to be your focus. That needs to be your core. You're going to float above those waters and those troubles and those tribulations. You are going to rise above. You're going to have joy and peace amidst the storm. You've got to do that. That's how you live in this time. I know they're not teaching this in the churches, and that is a crime. They don't know what to teach. They don't know what to say right now. Because why? Because you've got merchants in there. And merchants are awful teachers. Awful. The only thing they can do is teach you about merchandising. They can't teach you what you need to know. They can't teach you the things that are there. So what do they got to do? They got to sell you another book. Sell you another 12-step program. Sell you another retreat. No. Stakes are raising up. Stronger and higher and more now than ever before. This is the time you need to move forward in the things of God. You've got to. You can't go on in a lie or a deception anymore. Because, you know, if you go on in a deception, you're going to fall into a pit. Blind leading the blind, you both end up in a pit. You don't want to be in that. So, you know, choose. Choose wisely. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Now, keep your eyes on Christ in the middle of all that's going on. That's going to be important. And you got to flow with Him. And He's going to be giving you targeted and specific instructions in the time that we're living in right now. And the gifts that God has put in you, they need to be manifest. Because that's part of why God brought you into the earth at such a time as this. He would work through you in this time. But you need to partner with Him for that to happen. You don't want to just be a bystander and have come through your time in the earth and that's it, and just have watched the whole time. No, you want to be engaged. You want to be active. You want to participate. You want to move with what God is doing. At this time, that's where you want to be. All right, brothers and sisters? So, persist. Seek first God's face. Trust Him. And yes, know that there's going to be a backlash against you from the enemy, but that's all right. That's par for the course. Press on, overcome, to Him who overcomes. That's the instruction throughout time, throughout all ages. You got to overcome. And right now, that we are in the middle of a tremendous global change. And as we're in the middle of a tremendous global change, shift. Shift with what God is doing. Trust Him. Know that He's in control. Keep your eyes on Him. And enjoy the ride. Hey, we love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We love you. We'll always love to hear from you. We'll talk to you sometime again soon. Lord willing. All right. God bless you. Bye.